Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 27, where our brother just read. This is not our text tonight. I just want to read one verse out of it. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now think about that. One thing have I desired of the Lord. All right, one thing. We know what this one thing is. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I'm asking the Lord for this. I want this. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I started writing this message last Thursday as the reality was setting in about our brother, Cody Groover. It shocked me, and that shock just didn't go away. I don't think it has yet. But the reality started really sinking into me that our brother has been taken up into glory. Selah. I mean, our brother has been taken up no less miraculously than whenever God sent a chariot of fire down to Elijah and picked him up and carried him up into glory. Our God came down and he picked up his beloved and took him back to where God was. I mean, he is where God dwells. He's where God dwells. He was greeted when he got there by angels. He was greeted by brethren. I was thinking about names. Scott Richardson. Maurice Montgomery. Jack Shanks. Tommy Robbins. He was greeted by not just saints, not just people who bow the knee to God. He was greeted by brethren. He was greeted by angels. Our dear, sweet brother, Hannah and I listened today to his second message he just preached in our conference. He was just here in September. And this afternoon we listened to his second message and he quoted Job. He said, I know with these eyes shall I see God. Our brother has seen the throne of God. You know, we talk about the throne of God. That holy, high throne of judgment. The place where God rules. The place where we say we are now able to walk up to it boldly. And find grace and help in time of need. Cody Groover has seen the throne of God. There it is. He has seen the ascent by which Christ has ascended it. He's watched Christ, I mean Christ, ascend His throne and sit down. He's seen God on the throne. Our brother has heard the seraphims. He has physically heard the seraphims actually cry, holy, 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 as they surround that throne, is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Our brother has looked down. I can imagine him as soon as he was taken, as soon as the Lord translated him, for he was not He looked down at his own body, and all the wrinkles, all the spots were gone. They're all gone. He has the dew of youth on his brow. Have you ever seen an old picture of somebody? You know, if maybe Irene pulled out an old picture of Dwight, and you look at him and you say, "That's Dwight?" And you can see, yes, it is. That's Dwight. This was the day we got married, you know. Yeah, that's Dwight. Sure enough, that's Dwight, though. He has the dew of youth on his brow. Our brother has the dew of youth on his brow. The Spirit of God has flooded his soul with indescribable joy. I mean, indescribable joy. He's so happy. He is so happy. I can't describe how happy he is. Our brother stepped into a choir of saints that no man can number. And as he looked around and as he saw the throne and heard the seraphims and saw himself, he started shouting at the top of his lungs the song of the redeemed. We read it this morning. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to you by your own blood. Our brother, the one who was just here, he just passed through the States for a month, has had conversations with Jesus Christ. He's had conversations with Jesus Christ. Our brother has looked on and touched the actual scars that were pierced 2,000 years ago. I can imagine him on Thursday when he saw them. I can imagine him just needing a moment. Can you just give me a minute right here? And I can imagine the Lord giving it to him. All the time you need. You have all eternity. Our brother has seen the tapestry from the other side. We talk about this world seeing it from the backside, and you have all these loose threads, and then one day it's going to be flipped around, and there it is. He knows as he has been known. And as I was thinking about all this, this is the thought that went through my mind. I want that. Thursday, sorrow swept the churches. Sorrow, horror. Oh, no. And as I stop and think about it, I have to say, I want that. I actually want that. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow, yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be absolute glory for me. I have to tell you, I know this is strange. I know this is strange. But I want that. I want that. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I want that. I want to be a sinner saved by grace. That's what I want to be. That was our brother's only plea. He was only a sinner saved by grace. That was the gospel he preached. Didn't you enjoy it? He was just here in September. Two messages he preached. We heard it so clearly. That gospel that he preached to us is the only gospel there is. It's the only gospel there is. It's that Christ Jesus came into the world, and He shed His precious blood to save sinners. Thank God. Bless God. He shed His precious blood to save us filthy, rotten sinners. Now, after I heard the news on Thursday and throughout the day Thursday, so many scriptures ran through my mind. I started immediately. I was working, trying to work on something for Sunday, and I was just flooded by all these things and scriptures. And I thought about what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, "I knew a man." It was so glorious and so awful. He couldn't even admit it was himself. He said, "I knew a man who was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise," Paul said. Isn't that what he said? He said it was paradise. He said, "I went to paradise." You know, I thought about a couple decides they were going to go on a vacation, and they get a couple of tickets, and they tell everybody, they go tell somebody, "We just bought tickets to an island in the Caribbean. We're going to go to the Caribbean for a week. We're going to go to beautiful paradise down there." And as soon as we hear it, we all start going, "Oh no, I'm so sorry. That's horrible. That's so terrible. Did you hear me right? I said paradise. I said I'm going to paradise." Paul said it was paradise. It was absolute paradise. He said, "I heard unspeakable words which it is not possible for a man's mouth to utter." We try to describe what we're going to experience in the glorious presence of God. We try to enter into it. We try to think about it. There are things that this mouth cannot physically describe. Cannot be described. How does a man describe the glory by which Christ ascends his throne? How do you describe that? Can't you envision all of heaven, this ocean of believers, watching Christ ascend his throne? And as he walks up, they just think, "Oh, there's no more spirit in us." How do you describe that? He said, "Man's eye has never seen, man's ear has never heard, neither has ever entered into the imagination of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." The God that we looked at this morning, this sovereign, holy, just, right God. I'll tell you another scripture I thought about. The Apostle Paul said, "Press toward the mark." I thought about our brother being gone, and I thought about the ministry. And I thought, I want to tell our people, I want to tell Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, "Dear brethren, let's press toward the mark. Let's press toward the mark." You know, you hear something like this and you think, "Oh, the ministry has now taken a step back." No, it hasn't. Our Lord said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Let's press toward the mark." I don't know why our God purposed from the foundation of the world to take our brother right now, when it seems like he's so vital to the ministry in Mexico. To me, it seems like he is the ministry in Mexico. I don't know why the Lord purposed to take him. But I can tell you this. It's for the good of God's sheep. And it's for the thriving of the gospel. The absolute thriving of the gospel. We look at this and we think, how can the gospel thrive in this? Hasn't that always been the question of Scripture? Always. God says, "I'm going to make my gospel thrive." How? Here's how. I'm going to persecute my church. I'm going to kill my prophets. And I'm going to scatter my sheep. That's how. The end result of this is going to be the salvation of souls. That's going to be the end result of this. Everything that our God does, He does it for the calling out of His sheep. Everything. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. God's gospel is going to thrive in this. It's going to thrive. This is my prayer. This is my sincere, honest prayer. It's that our God will send a wake-up call through His churches. I pray that our God will send a wake-up call through the churches from the shock of Him taking our brother. This is shocking. I pray that He will send a revival in the midst of our years. I pray He will start the work in me. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. This life is so short. It is so, so short. Salvation is according to God's sovereign purpose and will. Salvation is according to God's sovereign purpose and will. God's sovereign purpose and will. But this is what He said. It pleased Him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that what He said? Paul said, we must press toward that mark. We must press toward that mark. We must press this gospel. It's time to start pressing this gospel. If God is coming back tomorrow, is it over? If God is coming back tomorrow, then let's not go home tonight. Let's not go home. Let's not go home and sit and wait on Him. Let's start pressing this gospel. Let's start pressing this gospel. When He returns, may He find us watching. May He find us waiting. May He find us pressing toward the mark. We must press this gospel. We must press ourselves and our loved ones to this gospel. This is the means that He uses to call out His sheep. This is His means. Because of that, because this is His means, I want every one of us here in this room, to hear the gospel through the words of our precious Lord Himself tonight, okay? Go with me over to John 17. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. What was He talking about? He was talking about that beautiful death He should accomplish. The death that secured our brother Cody Groover's redemption. The death that secured our redemption. Verse 2, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. There is no room for a sinner to glory in his own salvation. None. I promise you, Brother Cody is not right now glorying in his own salvation. God the Father chose him, didn't He? God the Father gave him to Christ, and that gift is called grace. He and every soul with him is right now praising God, glorifying God for His grace. Verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Salvation is a person. The gospel is a person. Heaven is a person. Heaven is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. As Brother Cody Groover would say, Jesus Christo. Verse 4 says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. We just sang, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Verse 5 says, and now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I love how Psalm 24 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." He's coming in all His glory. Verse 6 says, "I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word." That is the report that God the Son brought back to God the Father concerning every child of His. He said, "Father, in me, every one of them has kept your word perfectly." They've kept it perfectly. Verse 7, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Our Lord kept our brother Cody. He kept him all the way to the last day on earth. Our Lord is going to keep us. He is going to keep us. If we're in Christ, we are kept. We are kept. Every soul that He prayed for, every soul that He made intercession for, every soul that has believed on Him, that God the Father sent Him to pay the ransom of their sinful soul. I believe God sent Christ to die for me, cover me in His blood, pay my debt. Verse 13 says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He has spoken these things in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you so thankful He prayed this prayer to God so we could hear it? He has spoken these things in the world, and His word is our absolute joy. Verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." He said, "I pray for them. I'm not praying to just take them all out of the world. The Lord takes us at His time. The Lord takes us according to His purpose. The Lord takes us when He's finished using us. But He said, while they're in the world, I do pray, Father, that you'd keep them from the evil. If that was His prayer, if that was the prayer of the righteous man, that fervent, effectual prayer, do you think God will answer it? Absolutely. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He said, "Father, would you set them apart?" I love that. Would you sanctify them? Would you lay hold of them and set them apart through your word? Would you cause your word to be a reminder to them that I've put a difference? I have put a difference. My blood cleansed them. I made a difference. Verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." He said, "I'm praying for those who are going to believe on me through their word. What a high calling from God it is to declare how great things the Lord has done for us. That is such a high honor and high calling. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just the preacher. The entire ministry, of God's saints, not just Brother Cody down there in Mexico. Every brother and sister there in that congregation in Merida, every brother and sister in every congregation down there, every saint, every pastor that God has raised up, He's given them the high honor of saying, even in this, He has done all things well. What a high honor that is. Even in this, He's done all things well. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Our Lord, now, I love this. I love this. Our Lord has given us two great commandments. He's given us so many commandments. But He said these are the greatest. Number one, love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Don't you love that one? Commandment, love Him. He said the second one is this. Love your brethren. Love your brethren. Not only, now here's what I love about this. Not only does our loving our brethren not diminish our love for God at all. You know, have you ever felt guilty for wanting to see your brethren in glory? You ever felt guilty? I'm supposed to be all eyes on Christ. They will be. Oh, they will be. Not only does our loving our brethren not diminish our love for Him. Not only does our loving our brethren not diminish the glory we give to Him at all, but He delights in it and He commands it. We have to love our brethren. We have to look forward to seeing Brother Cody again. We have to. God said, it's the second great commandment. I want you to love the Lord your God. I want you to love your brother. Love him. We have to. Based on this word of God, we are going to see our dear brother again. And I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Now, last September, here in this conference, we worshiped God arm in arm, side by side, with our brother Cody, didn't we? Isn't that what we did? The way that God ordained it to be right here inside this room is the way that God has ordained it to be for all eternity one day when we're all one in glory. Same way. Our brother is already there. If we are in Christ, we're going to meet him there. We're going to meet him there. We're going to see him again. This mind can't wrap around that. We're going to see him again. We're all going to worship God together just like we did in this room 2 months ago. Exactly like we did in this room 2 months ago. Well, that sounds great. I wish it were true. It's true. It is true. We're going to see him again. We're going to worship God together again. Just like we did in this room 2 months ago. Verse 22 says, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as loved them as thou hast loved me. Right now, God the Father loves Cody Groover just as much as He loves God the Son. But here's the glorious truth of the matter. God the Father always loved Cody Gruber just as much as he loved God the Son. God put him in Christ, and everything he felt for Christ, he felt for Cody in Christ. And if we are in Christ, God the Father loves us just as much as he loves God the Son. Just as much. Verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. Christ desires for us to be with him. David said, one thing have I desired. Christ said the same thing. He said, Father, I desire that they be with me where I am. If that's what he desires, that's what he's going to have. That's what he will have. If he shed his blood for us, we are going to be with him where he is. We're going to. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Everything that takes place in this life is purposefully accomplishing that end. Everything that happens to us is filtering us to that end right there. He said, I desire that they be with me where I am. I'm going to be in them. They're going to be in me. We're going to be in you. You're going to be in us. We're going to be one. Everything is bringing us to that end. We have such a good end. We have such a good end. It's so good. I tell you how good it is. It's actually the beginning. That's how good it is. Our end, the thing that everybody's so sorry for, so sad over, it's so good, it's actually the beginning. It's actually the start. Our Lord said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never. Our brother Cody is fine. He's fine. Boy, he's better than fine. He is safe. He is healthy. He is happy. He is completely content. Completely content. He has woken with his likeness and he's satisfied. David said, I won't be satisfied until I awake with your likeness. Our brother Cody's satisfied. Completely satisfied. By God's grace, we're going to see real soon just how well he is. And we're going to worship God together with him again. Our Lord asked Martha, he said, believest thou this? This is what he said to her. He said, Martha, you're going to see your brother again. You're going to see your brother again. He said, you believest thou this? Believe it. Believe it. God said it. We saw this morning, we got a sovereign God. If he said it, it's going to be done. So we can believe it. Stand together with us.